Well, I want to share with you about nations this morning. As I do that, I want us to realize that we cannot talk about anything on a corporate level or a huge, even in a national level, without also receiving some things on a personal level. So even as I share this morning, I'm going to share a little bit about praying for a nation for a few minutes. I also want you to take some of the things that I'm saying and apply them personally as well, as opposed to just attributing it to national things on a national scene, we should say. I'm actually going to probably put some of this on the radio series that I've been doing, talking about praying for a nation, realizing that God is our supply. I remember a few weeks ago, Cliff prayed in our service when we were praying for a nation, and it caught me in some of the things that one of the things that he prayed was that the government is not our source. He prayed that and made it very clear that government is not our source. God is our source. And I pray that that went over the radio waves as well, and I pray that when that went over there, the people who heard that, hopefully that penetrated within them to realize that government is not our source, because many times we vote according to the way that whatever will bring the most dollars and cents into our hands. And folks, that's a poor way to vote. That's a poor way to cast your vote. We should be casting your vote for people after prayer, after seeking God's direction, after looking at the men that we are, women that we are voting for, and see how they stand for the principles of the kingdom, and then ask the Holy Spirit who it is that we need to vote for. Not because somebody can give you a big tax cut, because you know one thing, that they might cut it today, but they'll put it up tomorrow. So, you know, we should never vote according to the dollars that come into our hands anyway. That is serving the God of mammon. That is serving the God of this world when we vote that way. But you and I are in a place where we have a responsibility to pray for our nation. God is so interested in nations. God has designed nations. He looks upon nations, and I believe today he is dealing with nations. When you look at the Middle East, you look at Egypt and Libya and Iran and all these places where things are really in a chaos situation, and Yemen is another one, and there's so many that nations are being rattled today. Nations are being in a place where they're in confusion. They don't know which way to go. They don't like the leader that they got, but they're fearful for what leader they're going to get. So sometimes there's a certain population say, well, the devil we know is better than the one we don't know. And they take that attitude. And so the nations are in a place of turmoil. And I believe that this is a sign that we are getting close to the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are getting close to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will come one day, and he's going to judge every man, woman, child. And I believe also he's going to judge nations as well. There is a judgment, I believe, that nations have to go through. And we're going to read a little bit about that today in Matthew chapter 25. Just want to read a few verses here, keeping to the context that we want to speak about. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, it says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him." The Son of Man is coming with all his angels. And this is something we want to focus on as well, that, you know, when the presence of the Lord comes, there's angels with him. We ask for the presence of the Lord when he comes in our meetings, and we've all experienced, I'm sure, many times when it just seemed like there's no place else you'd rather be on earth because the presence of the Lord has come. Well, there's angelic activity that comes with him as well. And even when he comes to judge the nations, angelic creatures are going to be with him. When the Son of Man comes, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" And then going down to verse 41, "Then he will also say to those on the left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels.'" So we see a separation here of nations. One would be put on his right hand and one on his left, the sheep on his right, the goats on his left, and it's clear that we don't want to end up as a goat nation. We don't want to end up as a nation that's put on his left, a nation that is cast into a place called hell that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. And so you and I have a responsibility to do what we can to see that our nation comes in line with what with the requirements to be a sheep nation. Now, I know that, you know, there are theologians and so forth that would say that this is only talking about individuals within the nation, and it does include that. But I believe first, before individual judgment comes, there's a national judgment that's going to come upon nations. And there will be nations that actually will be sheep nations. There will be nations that have decided that the way of God is the right way, that the way of God, the ways of the kingdom, is the way that we should function. And they'll begin to pass laws and decrees and so forth that reflect the kingdom of heaven as opposed to the kingdoms of this world. There will be nations that will come closer and closer to the demonstration of the kingdom of God on the earth. And they'll be the sheep nation. And there'll also be nations that will go farther away from the kingdom of God, that will embrace the forces of darkness, that will choose actually when it comes to the very end, that will choose the Antichrist as the one who will they will serve. And so there is a division that takes place. And you and I believe Canada even is at a crossroads, if you will, where it could go either way. I believe that the way the people cry out to God, even when it comes to the elections and when we elect the governments, that what we do is going to indicate whether we are going to be a sheep nation or a goat nation. And you and I need to pray that the masses of people across the nation will vote in ways that will reflect the kingdom of God as opposed to the kingdom of this world. But I want to look at some things now that the kingdom of heaven embraces and the kingdom of heaven rejects. Actually, we're going to talk a little bit more about the rejection side today, and I believe this will give us an opportunity or a pattern by which we can pray into government and to the things of this world, so that Canada will become a sheep nation. I so long for Canada to become a sheep nation. I long for the nation of Canada to reflect the kingdom of God. You know, we pray, God, let your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so the way I pray that many times, God, let your kingdom come. Your will be done in the nation of Canada as it is in heaven. We desire for his will to be done here in the nation of Canada. So I want to look at seven things that the Bible says that the Lord hates. The Lord does not like these things. And when we see what those things that the Lord hates, then we have to realize that we should pray that our politicians will not be involved in them. And we'll pray for them after we go through them. I don't know how far we'll get today, but I'm not going to belabor the thing, but I do want to share a few things along that line. And of course, the things that the scripture says that the Lord hates really is found in Proverbs 6:16. But the scriptures say that righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness brings a nation to the forefront. Righteousness puts a nation in the right slot when it comes to seeing the kingdom of God being demonstrated. And so you and I need to pray that there'll be justice and righteousness in the land. Now let's read Proverbs chapter 6:16 just for a moment. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Those are pretty powerful things. And you know, even as a church, if we could stay away from all these things, we would, you know, really walk in the blessing of God in a new way. Every one of these things, the Bible says, are an abomination to the Lord. He hates them. I don't know how much stronger you could say that. He does not want that in his kingdom, and the kingdom of God doesn't have these things functioning and operating in them. Now let's look at it. The Bible says, first one, it says, a proud look. Well, we think of James chapter 4, verse 6, where it says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So if we are a proud nation, if we are a nation that holds itself up as something that is better in an unhealthy fashion compared to all the rest of the nations of the world, then we get haughty. We get a proud look. And if we get our, even, you know, through this last recession, Canada has come out, compared to the rest of the nation of the world, Canada has come out in a very good place. I mean, when you look south of the border, their financial situation is 10 times worse or more than the nation of Canada. And we could look at that and say, oh yeah, we know how to do it. We know how to bank, you know, our banking system is stable here. We know how to do it. We know how to make it happen. We are more diligent to look after these things. If we get haughty in that, the danger of that is God will begin to resist us. If we get proud in that area, God will begin to resist us. Think about it. If you have God resisting you, that puts you in a bad spot. No matter what you do, God will resist you in it. No matter what, you know, when it comes to the finances, again, for our nation of Canada, if the nation of Canada was to get to the place, we heard our politicians speaking haughty things about our financial situation, and God started to resist us in the prosperity of our nation, we could turn around some fast. I mean, the bottom could be pulled out of it some fast. And same thing with our personal lives. If we think we're better than other people in particular areas and we have a haughty look about us because, you know, we've handled our finances better than somebody else, watch out. There's a resistance going to come. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. In other words, if we walk humbly before God, if we are thanking God every day for the awesome things that we get to enjoy because of his blessing upon our lives, not because we've known how to do it, but we have a God who loves us, and he wants to bless us with good things. If we walk humbly before him in that way, thanking him continually for what he has done in our lives. Remember, Deuteronomy 8:18 says, remember, it is the Lord thy God that gives you the ability to get wealth. It's him. He's the one that gives you the ability to have finances come into your hands. So we constantly give him praise for what he has done in that area. We walk humbly before God, and he'll pour out our grace, his grace upon us. So a proud look is, we can't allow that in our nation or in our own personal lives. The second one is the lying tongue. It is the second of the hateful things that the Lord hates. A tongue speaking falsehood knowingly and willingly with an intention to deceive others. A lying tongue speaks in such a way to deceive other people in order to gain something. In other words, that we might speak out lies in ways that would be, we think would be advantageous to us. Speaking out lies will constantly bring us into a place where we are showing off the attributes of the God, the one who is called the father of lies, who is the devil. Jesus called him the father of lies. Lying is an attribute of the devil. Lying is an attribute of the God of this world. And so we want to make sure that we stay away from that. Lying in any way, shape, or form is wrong. Lying to take advantage over other people is wrong. And I'm thinking, Diane and Dave are fishermen. And, you know, if they were to go and they were to find a real good place to fish, there are some great spots, aren't there, Dave? And if people come around him, he's got two choices. And fishermen are always looking for a better place to fish. And if you can find one, they want you to tell them where it is. I mean, not only oyster fishermen, you got trout fishermen and all kinds of what they want. Well, sometimes, you know, if you find a small little spot and you know it's not enough for everybody, your tendency to want to keep it to yourself. And I mean, that's natural. But if you deliberately lie and say, oh no, there's no fish there at all. I tried there and there's none at all. Maybe there's some over there. Well, he'd be lying to try to get advantage over somebody else. That's deceitful lying strategy. Here's another form of lying. Going up to somebody and flattering them. Over and above what, you know, is necessary. Flattering them in order to bring forth deceit, to gain something from them, to gain a place in their eyes even of worthiness, or you're worth something, that you make me feel good because you flattered me. Well, if we lie about it, it's not, you're going to have to pay the price. We are acting according to the attributes of the God of this world when we lie. Even if your wife gets up in the morning and she just got a brand new hairdo and she asks you, what's it look like? careful. There are some things you have to be very careful about. Some things you have to sometimes just shut up about. Don't say nothing. We have to be careful, but we have to train ourselves that when we are tempted to lie, something happens to us on the inside. There's a gnawing on the inside. Uh-oh, you can't say that now. That's not totally true. You can't say that. You have to be honest in the situation. You have to tell the truth. And sometimes telling the truth, maybe it may be better just to not say anything at all. That's okay. But stay away from lying. Don't use a flattering tongue. Well, the third one is hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood is something that the Lord hates. People who are quick to shed innocent blood. This is something that the kingdom of God does not allow. You know, I'm really concerned about a lot of the programs that are on television today, how it's gotten the populace so used to watching programs where people are killing one another. And it shows it more graphic than it ever has in any time of history about how people are quick to shed blood. And it, you know, may not always be innocent, but in some cases it is. And it desensitizes us to the whole concept of shedding innocent blood. And I'm absolutely convinced that way back when, it hasn't been all that long ago, not that many decades ago, that this whole tactic was used in order to bring the whole concept of abortion into a place where it is so ungodly that we need to pray against that spirit. Because if there's ever kind of anybody that's ever innocent, it's a baby in a mother's womb. And quick to be shedding innocent blood like that, God hates. The Bible clearly says that God hates. And you and I need to pray that we will become a nation who will turn some laws around into such a way that it will reflect this whole concept of that we treasure life, that we treasure the child that is in the mother's womb. We need to pray into that and take a stand wherever we can. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Here's another one. Number four, a heart that devises wicked plans. Well, this whole concept here, a heart that devises wicked plans, it really kind of gives you the idea of somebody sitting back and figuring out how I can devise a plan in order to rip somebody off or get the best of somebody or get what I want. Thinking about that, meditating about that, how to make things happen, the things that I want to happen. You know, maybe in your workplace, maybe you're not satisfied with the position that you have amongst your peers in your workplace, and you go home at night and you begin to think about, okay, how can I devise a plan to get me into this position instead of this position? How can I devise a plan that will cause me to get what I want in that situation? Well, if it's not godly, you'll find out that God hates that plan. We have to be careful of these things that we go into. Any time we think that something is a great idea or a godly thing, it must have to do with blessing somebody else just as much as you. Never ripping somebody off to get your own way. Never. God hates that person or a heart that devises wicked plans. We have a good description in this in 1 Kings chapter 21, where Jezebel devised an evil plan to get Naboth's vineyard for her wicked king Ahab. She devised a plan that would get Naboth killed so that Ahab could get the vineyard that he wanted. She devised this wicked scheme. God said he hates that. You know, when we look at our politicians today, look at people. Notice people sometimes if they are devising a wicked plan. Notice the media. Are they devising a wicked plan when they report, make a big deal out of something that's not a big deal, and something that's really important they just don't talk about very much? Are they devising a wicked plan in order to get their agenda put forward? We see that all the time happening in media. And if we want to pray for our nation, we have to include praying for the media, that they will represent things truthfully and not maligning things in such a way that they have their agenda promoted. God said he hates a heart that devises wicked plans. And number five, he also hates feet that are swift at running to evil. Swift that are running to do all kinds of evil. This speaks of a person who is unhindered by his conscience in bringing awareness of the consequences of his evil actions. Swift, run swiftly into evil things. You know, I have to think back of my own life before I became a Christian. I mean, when it came to doing evil things, the only thing that really hindered me from doing more wrong things than I did was the fear of getting caught and going to prison, for the most part. I didn't have a consciousness really of doing right by itself because it was the right thing to do. I used to go to places that I shouldn't go to, and you think about doing things, you would, if it was evil, didn't matter. If it had anything to do with, you know, even the moral aspects of life that we should all know, didn't make any difference to me. I used to go to a bar in Calgary by the name of Lucifer. That was the name of the place. Gives you an idea of what went on in that place. I mean, it was really a place that was all kinds of debauchery and so forth, and you just thought nothing of going in there and just getting it on with everybody else in there and just having an awesome time. And, you know, somebody would be, you know, we might be home at night or something, drinking or something with a bunch of my buddies or whatever, and somebody said, well, let's go to Lucifer's. And I'd just, yeah, let's go, quick. Being quick to run to do evil. How about this? There's a new show out. There's a new movie coming out. And you know very well that it's got all kinds of ungodly things in it. You know there's all kinds of things there that God wouldn't be happy with you watching. And somebody says, hey, there's a new movie out, and guess who's acting in it? So and so and so. Let's go and see it tonight. Well, if you're quick to run to that, maybe you might fall into this category. We have to be careful that we are not quick to run into places that produce evil things. You know, the Bible talks about a people who are in deception, who not only do things but that are wicked, but approve of other people doing it. And sometimes when we're watching, I'm convicted of this too, folks. I'm not really, I was thinking about this yesterday as I was praying and just fellowshipping with the Lord. I thank God for the privilege to repent. I thank God for the awesome privilege that we have to repent. You and I were born again believers, yes. We know Jesus, yes. We know that our sins have been washed away. But Jesus said that if we sin, we can confess our sin. And the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm so glad of that. Because sometimes when I watch something, I get convicted after. And I have to repent before God. And I get so mad at myself for taking the time to watch, allowing my eyes to see things I shouldn't see. You know, the scripture says, I will set no evil thing before my eyes. How many times have we set evil things before our eyes when we watch things we shouldn't watch? You see, I believe God is taking us into a place of purity and holiness. He wants a people that will walk in purity and holiness, who will guard their eyes and their ears, the things that they see, the things that would corrupt them. He desires us to walk in a place of purity. And as we walk into that place in the soul realm, in that place of purity, we will see his presence invade our soul realm. Because we can legally say that we are righteous. We've been born again. We're washed by the blood of Jesus. And Jesus has come and he has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. So, in fact, that's the case because of the blood of Jesus. And our spirits are born again. But we still have a mind, will, and emotion. What are we doing with it? Are we allowing it to get polluted on a daily basis? Or are we keeping it holy before God? Are we doing what we can to make sure our mind, will, and emotions is in the place of holiness before God? We have to ask ourselves this question. I will set no evil thing before my eyes. I thank God for the privilege to be able to repent before him. Don't think that repentance is a one-time thing. We need to repent, and I find I'm getting convicted. The longer I walk in this, now I find it easier to repent than I did way back when. Because when I miss it, I quickly go to the Lord and repent and ask him to forgive me. It's not a difficult thing to do, but we must do it. And if we'll do that with integrity, we'll find ourselves saying, I'm not going there again. I've seen that show once, I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to go there because it gets me thinking in the wrong direction. There's so many people watching shows that they forget what reality is all about. They get all caught up in thinking that that's reality. Well, I'll tell you, folks, for you, this is reality. This is reality. The life that you're living in, this is reality. And Jesus wants to come into this reality and make it so exciting that you'll look at that stuff on there and say, that's the last place I ever want to be. Jesus wants to come into our reality today. He wants to participate today. He wants to be in our lives, no matter whether we find it mundane or he wants to come into the mundane affairs of life and make it exciting. People are too often prone to wanting to get out of the mundane of life and get into something exciting. Jesus said, I want to come into your life and make it exciting. He knows that we live in a life where we, you know, there's things that we need to do on a daily basis, the work we go to and the family issues that we deal with and the home things and even the you know, keeping our homes clean and all that. He knows all that stuff. He said, I want to come in there and I'm going to make it so exciting that you'll never be interested in watching a depraved lifestyle that is so often evident on the television. Well, I believe that's as far as I'm going to go today on that. But I do want to pray for our nation. I do want to take a few minutes and pray for our nation. Because our nation needs prayer desperately. I believe that God's hand of blessing is on our nation right now. I do believe that. But I also believe that if the wrong choices are made by the people, then that hand can be moved. The people across our nation are going to have an opportunity come the next election. Who to put in there? And I'm not talking partisan here. There, you know, there's good people in all parties, I should say. And there's people in all parties that it'd probably be better off if they weren't there. But God wants us to pray in such a way that the people of our nation will indeed vote according to the kingdom of God principles as opposed to what can be gained in this world. And keep in mind all the time, Cliff's prayer, the government is not the one who meets our need. The government is not the one who meets. God said, I will supply all your need according to my riches in glory. He said that. So God is the one who meets our need, not the government. When you get that into our heads, it just frees us to be able to vote according to Kingdom of God principles. If we get that whole concept out of our head about they are meeting my need, then we'll vote honestly before God. So why don't you stand up with me just for a moment as we begin to pray for our nation, bring our nation before the Lord. Now, Father, we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you for your truth and your love for this nation, dear God. We believe, dear God, that you have established this nation, that you have designed it, that you have birthed it, even from this birthplace of Prince Edward Island, God. We thank you so much, Lord, for birthing the nation of Canada. Dear God, you've seen it at the beginning of time, even back in 1864, when you call the leaders, political leaders of this nation together, and you birth something in the natural, God, in order to bring forth a country called the Dominion of Canada. And God, we thank you for that. Thank you for this nation. Thank you for your hand upon it, Lord. And God, we see that you, one of the things that you hate is a proud look. Lord, we ask, dear God, that you would move upon our politicians, Father, to help them to walk in humility, God, to help them to walk before you and before others with an attitude of humility, God, realizing that they don't have all the answers, but God, that you do. And Father, as we pray for wisdom to be upon our politicians, God, that they would gain the wisdom from heaven that they need in order to deal wisely in all the affairs of this nation, we pray in the name of Jesus. Help them, dear God, I pray, to resist walking in a proud spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we see that you hate a lying tongue. God, we see so many things that are portrayed to us today over the media of suggesting that men and women are lying about things, Father. We don't know the ins and outs about that, God, but you do. And Lord, we know that you hate a lying tongue. So we ask, dear God, that amongst our politicians today, amongst our leaders, and amongst the bureaucrats, dear God, that they would be impressed to speak truth, to speak the truth, Lord, continually, and that they would put away lying from their capacity, even, Father, that they would, even if they think about telling a certain lie either to cover something up, that they would be impressed by their very consciousness that they cannot go that way, but they need to tell the truth, dear God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that they would come to know the one who is truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except me, Lord. May they experience the truth. May they experience Jesus, we pray. Father, we know, dear God, that you hate hands that shed innocent blood. Now, Lord, we're asking, dear God, that the leaders of our nation, Father, would come to a place where they would recognize innocent blood, Lord, the way you recognize innocent blood. Lord, that whatever you think is innocent blood, they would see it as innocent blood, Lord, and that they would devise plans and laws to stop any shedding of innocent blood, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask, dear God, that this would come in line with the kingdom of God, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we see you also hate a heart that devises wicked plans. God, we're asking for our politicians, Lord, to think good plans, to think good things, Lord, to plan things according to your will, God, to bring about your kingdom purposes, we pray. We ask, dear God, that there would be revelation given. It might even come from a dream, God. We ask that this would come forth in the leaders of our nation today, that they would be able to devise good plans, not evil plans, but good plans that would bring about your purposes for the nation of Canada, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we see that you are one who really hates a person who is quick to run to evil. Lord, we ask that you give our politicians wisdom when it comes to stepping in even to the affairs of other nations, Lord, that we our politicians would not devise plans in order to gain advantage over other nations, God. Lord, that plans, that any wicked plans, Lord, would be put down, Father, and that we wouldn't be quick to kind of run into other nations to bring evil on other nations, to bring chaos into other nations in order to get an advantage over them, Lord. We see, Father, that that has been done in the past by nations of the world going in order to even get their resources, that they're more able to get it when their government is in chaos. Lord, we ask, dear Father, that our government would be a government who would deal wisely according to the affairs of the kingdom of God, that our government would be pricked in their heart to do the right thing when it comes to other nations, we pray in Jesus' name, demonstrating by their actions that even our government realized that the sufficiency or the security does not come from the hands of man, but from God, we pray in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your hand of blessing upon our nation now in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, there's people here, Father, who need an experience, an encounter with you, God, like they have never had before. Father, I'm asking for everyone here, Father, to walk into this encounter with God. Walk into a place in God that is fresh and new in the name of Jesus Christ. That there would come an anointing upon us, Lord, that would constantly bring to mind kingdom of God principles in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, your word tells us that by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are healed. Your word tells us in Psalm 103 that you forgive all our sins and heal all our diseases. Lord, I pray, Father, that these scriptures would be manifest in your body in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the manifestation of healing in your body in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that you bring healing to your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, along this line I speak, Father, over this group, God, that there would be a grace come from the very throne room of God that would provide an atmosphere of unity to fall upon us, an attitude of oneness to fall upon us, that the words, the prayer that Jesus prayed, that they might be one, even as you, Father, are one with me, that they might be one. Lord, I pray that we would be an answer to that prayer that Jesus prayed to you, God, that we might be one, that we'd walk in the oneness of you, Father, that your presence would envelope us, God, in such a powerful way, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for that. Now, Father, we also pray for those who couldn't make it out today, God. We pray blessing upon them in their homes, dear God. Father, we ask, dear Lord, that even in their homes, Lord, that they would be under the anointing of the Holy Spirit guiding and directing them toward the things that are good and shunning the things that are evil, in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask, dear Father, that, Lord, you would give them a way out when the enemy is trying to trap them, dear God. And Father, we thank you so much for you being a shelter in the storms of life. Lord, just as the storms we've been experiencing, Lord, over the last little while, I thank you that you are our shelter in the spiritual storms of life, God. In every area, Father, in the spiritual and the natural, in the name of Jesus. And we just bless you for that now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.